Over. Channel 1 over. Channel 1 over. And a continuation visit with Wade this Saturday afternoon, 12th of May, 72. Channel 1 over. And a continuation visit with Wade this Saturday afternoon, 20th of May, 72. Channel 1 over. And a continuation visit with Wade this Saturday afternoon, 20th of May, 72. Channel 1 over. And a continuation visit with Wade this Saturday afternoon, 20th of May, 72. Channel 1 over, and a continuation of the visit with Wade this Saturday afternoon, 20th of May, 72.
I don't know, I think we've lost the last one. We used to have the old, couple of old black fans, you know, that were built from the 20s almost.
Yeah.
The standard old fan
yeah.
that always had. Yeah. And they fools hadn't changed that at all. You still buy a fan, but then if you can clean it.
I know.
You know, it gets dirty.
I know.
There's no, you
can't clean it. This thing takes just a little button and the whole thing falls apart and it's plastic and you wash it.
Take it out and wash it.
Just okay, we'll just wash the blade. That's all it is to it.
Well, it doesn't make a lot of fuss. Oh, that happened.
That chicken didn't want to make a lot of fuss.
Well, I sure wouldn't let Emerson do me in.
Cut it. Cut it down, let me say. I can't hear over you, Megan. Now, old Jack, what'd you say about Jack?
Oh, it's just a funny, but it's a part of his character.
He came down.
He was there at 4 o'clock in the morning to get the car fixed.
Yeah.
And he and his wife showed up later on. That's another whole story about her. And he stayed there till 5:30. Well, he was pretty well, he'd been drinking beer all day. Wasn't really drunk. He says, talk to Jack Sanders and says, Jack, what's the word he used? The tooth, I got a tooth that's fretting me or something like that. This one right here. And the other Jack walks over and picks up Phil's vice grips. Says, is that the one? He says, yeah. Okay, hold still. Pulls it out. Right there. He just leans over and spits a little bit of blood and sits back and drinks some beer and starts talking again.
I don't think he got much feeling left.
That's just, Buster did one 6 months ago, just like our last year. Except his pliers were greasier.
You mean the teeth?
Yeah, pulled a tooth.
The Jack?
Yeah. He's sitting right down there and he says, all right, this is the one.
Right, you see? He was shot up.
Yeah.
And he got a plate in his head. And they grafted his skin on his face. Didn't finish. And shot in the stomach, shot in the knees. In World War II.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is what he said. Mr. Weaver said, yes, that's right.
He and that Heron on the council, brothers.
Yes.
They're brothers, and they won't have anything. Jack won't have anything to do with that other Heron.
Wait,
Hilton Heron.
Well, now Jack's dog was named Wrangler, and he said he'd hunt anything, and you could tell him what to hunt. And if you picked, all you had to do, if you wanted to hunt possums, just take down a sack and strike out. And then he got the other signs. And whenever you see him, you get that from him.
Okay.
Dog named Wrangler. And he let old Maxie Mixon have him. Way back. And Buster remembers Wrangler.
Jack's good. Jack loves animals and kids and things like that. He might be crazy in a lot of ways, but he's an animal man.
He eats his children.
Oh, he loves to do that. He buys them stuff, candy, things like that.
Little boy, he says, what's your name, little girl?
Yeah. He ought to do consistent today is long. Just as consistent as he can be about that.
Always gets it.
Never varies. But Devlin. Though I love to devil them kids, them youngins.
And they loved it.
Yeah. Devlin them.
So Hilton, and then he come up there at 5 o'clock in the morning to get his car working.
That's when he gets up. And he gets up and eats breakfast. He's ingrained about that. If he's going to get drunk, he starts at 4 or 5 in the morning. Whatever's in process for the day. It starts at that time.
And then he and that little wife of his, with one eye?
Yeah.
Set out in the truck?
All day long.
Waiting for Buster to get ready.
No, it wasn't Buster, it was Phil across the street. And Phil fits in just fine now. He's a new guy in town, but he gets along fine. Because he works just like Buster. Except he does a little bit more sophisticated work, but his attitude's like Buster's too.
I hadn't run into him.
It's that old pole building across the street, Tin and Pole, Weaver's old building.
Yeah.
And he comes down when he feels like it's necessary and works.
He's just not like Buster.
Yeah, he's not a shopkeeper. And Jack paid him off with four buck rabbits, a bunch of beer, some collard greens. I forgot what else.
Phil.
He paid Phil with it for fixing his car.
Well, the first animals I saw him have over there was pigs, and he had some beauties.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the pig market collapsed with that cholera. He was stuck with all those beautiful pigs. Couldn't give them away. And now he's moved, you know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where he lives myself.
Down at Reddick. Or somewhere out there. Orange Lake, over to the west.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're raising rabbits.
Mm-hmm. He had a pretty good... He'd used to... rabbit droppings. How is that? He had a pretty good cycle worked out.
Yeah.
Between the chickens, I think, the rabbits, and the pigs. Somehow he had a thing going. It made sense to me when he said it. I've forgotten what it was.
Yeah. I was over there one morning. I went by there, and he had the pig droppings and was putting them along the ice potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But he wouldn't talk. And Mr. Weaver says, you just have to take him that way. Sometimes he won't talk to anybody.
Yeah, and he hadn't been feeling too well lately.
Yeah.
He got going down, I reckon about 6 months ago or something like that, maybe a little bit longer. He's yet to get back up. I don't know if he'll make it back up. But he got down real bad.
Did he?
And a man like that, you know, he's a physical person, and if he's not able, it's all right not to work, but if you're not able to work, that ruins you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, you're not physically able to work.
Say, I forget what it was, and you got your mind on something else, you can't help me. It was at the town meeting.
Yeah.
And the Vista man, you talked about him.
Oh, only the thing I think I made talk about that, but I'm just so pleased with this Bill Proctor, because his efforts are resulting in what he came down there for. I mean, if anything's going to work, you've got to start at the causes of it.
Yes.
You've got to start at the causes. As long as they see that town council sitting up there like knots on a log, or they don't have to see them, they just have to know they're there. They know that town's clamped down, and they're not going to wiggle one way or the other. But now they see a change. They've got a crack in there, you know, a little light slipping in.
They'll be apt to up and do something now. At least more so than before.
Now you're thinking about the blacks.
Yeah, mainly the blacks right now, in that regards. Because that's who Bill's working with, the blacks.
Yeah. Now he's a Vista man.
Mm-hmm. Bill Proctor.
Yeah.
Oh, hell, there'd be no white people in Micanopy to consider themselves poor. No. They may make $20 a week, but they're not going to say they're poor. That's a class system, strong class system over there. However, I think the hippies are fast becoming the taking place of the colored people as an object of scorn, which it may be nature's own way of getting the colored people out of the bag.
Well,
because all you do is hate the hippies now. Uh-huh. But you got to have somebody to look down on. That's sort of necessary for these people.
Well, I haven't been in. Mr. Morgan's one of my friends, you see, but I haven't been in touch with him in a couple of years. So I guess we're not too close. And he'd talk, you see, right out if I went around. Now the hippies are increasing in number.
Not really. It's just been. Well, let's say generally 2, 4, 6, 8, about 10 people. One or two of them live out of town, and maybe 6 live in the building over there, 6 or 7. And but they're friends that come down and visit them periodically. All you have to do is see 5 people together, and you see 25. When you don't like them.
Yeah.
You see 5 and there's a crowd.
Oh,
is
that
crowd. And did you notice the order of the way people sat in the audience? It was the local people here, then the pretty
blacks.
Good segment of blacks, and then the hippies. Back of the room now. Just love that.
Well, who was the boy who sat in the middle there back of you who spoke right well? He wasn't local, and I can't identify him. He, young fella.
Mitch was one guy. He was the guy that was taking notes.
No.
Fella
he
named
sat
John.
On the front front row in that section back of you there.
Wonder if that was John Brigham, I think. Or Brigman.
Is he a hippie?
No, he's more or less a local type of person, best I can recall. If I'm thinking of the same one.
Well, now he was young and he spoke right clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I think that if he was on that where the aisle is, sitting
mm-hmm.
on that row.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm quite sure. That must have been Brigman.
Brigman.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I couldn't remember the name.
Yeah, he seems to have a clear head.
Now, that fella who was out of order all the time and wanted to bring up something, walk around with his...
Now, he lives right back of me.
Oh, does he?
He's born troublemaker. If he's not causing trouble, he's unhappy.
Yeah.
Absolutely unhappy. He can't stand it unless he's stirring around. Oh, hell, he shot at the police the other day. He was called on some disturbance, and the sheriffs came over in his house. And they had guns, and he looked at them like that and says, "You got a gun there?" Says, "Yeah." "Just a minute." He goes to his bedroom and comes out with his shotgun. Cocks hammer, says, "All right, we're equal. Let's talk." And so they just told him to quiet down or something like that, and they got in the car and started to drive away, and he shot at the car with a shotgun. They turned around and took him to jail. If one tenth of what he told me is true, he's had a weird life. He's done some of the strangest things. Just one tenth of the stories he tells. He just came up the other day and was talking about he spent 87 days on a life raft one time and 40-something again.
In World War
II. And his experiences in World War II has given him total exemption from society now. Society now is obligated not to bother him and allow him to operate as he pleases. By God. And he does it. Well, he's ornery. He's ornery as he can be.
Yeah, that's right. Belligerent, it seems like. Yeah. But is he good humored?
Oh, yeah. He likes to, he'll laugh and joke.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, it's just one of those things that a whole bunch of people like that, you just don't cross them.
Yeah.
And they're easy to cross.
Oh,
yeah. You don't have to do a whole lot to cross them. They'll be a good friend, but you bring up the wrong word.
Yeah.
It's the Weavers. There was one of the boys was living in that little log cabin across the street.
Yeah.
And the Weavers own it. And it was a Saturday afternoon. And this guy had a friend from town that happened to be black. He came by and he went in the house. Saturday night, that guy was moved out of that place.
No blacks.
No blacks, and they're going to try to sell or lease the building, and they've already made a stipulation that no blacks, they can't rent it to any blacks.
Wow.
I mean, you know, they're a hard line about stuff like that. And Frank says, you ain't never seen anything until you seen the Weaver clan get together when they're mad about something. Oh, he was shaking Hilton Heron, at that first meeting. He had him up at the end of the meeting, walked out the door, and he grabbed him up by the lapels and shaking him like this.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Weaver. He's about to beat up on him. There's somebody broke him up.
Oh, he's shaking Hilton?
Hilton Heron, yeah. He's mad as a wet hen at him. Just as mad as he could be. When they get mad, they fight. I mean, that's it. They love to fight.
Well, Buck has one boy, is the only one I know.
He's got Billy and Wesley and Frank.
Three of them. Frank's the one I think
Frank,
I know.
Yeah, he's the one that talks. Billy's very quiet and very big. And they say, of all people, not to monkey with, don't mess with Billy. Because he's quiet, but he broke a man's ribs just giving him a bear hug and just crushed like that. You know, just all power everywhere. And all those other two are really sort of quiet, and Frank does all the talking and the rabble-rousing, and he starts the trouble, and they come in to help him out. It's really an old-time family, you know, that in that sense. A dog bit the kid the other day, yesterday. And Frank is going to get his gun after things calm down and go over and shoot the dog. And he's mouthing off in the store how the best thing would be to shoot the owner of the dog.
Is that Mr. Uncle Mac?
No, it was no, it wasn't Max Dogs. It was somebody else over back of the store.
Right.
But I mean, that mentality.
Now, Max not in the clan.
No.
He's out.
I never knew why, but I've known that like he and Ms. Weaver never got along for some reason. They just never got along. Mary. Either she doesn't like him at all or he doesn't like her at all, one way or the other. I don't know which is
more. She's padding around.
I think that goes back to Max's first marriage. His wife left him. They lived together 5 or 6 or 8 years, and she left him. And I think Mary's attitude is the same, that he's no count, and she just don't want to be responsible for him and have him hanging around.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I don't have any idea. Has he talked to you about his wife?
He doesn't talk about people.
Oh, he opened up the other day, sitting out in front of Weaver's, and lit out with his story about when he wanted to rent this shed that the oil company owned to do a produce business for the shed, but he had to rent the oil place too. A sort of a grocery store and a filling station type thing. And he stocked it. He said to his wife, all you have to do is run it. And then, he's really funny talking about his wife and about her all the time with her hand in the till. And since she was stealing, he couldn't tell whether his employees were stealing because he couldn't keep count of the money. He went on about that for a while. I just almost died laughing. Think just the way, you know, he wouldn't talk directly, but he'd make these subtle statements about his wife. Obviously, just no good if she's going to come around stealing all the time. He finally had to catch her to make her quit. He had a trapper.
Well, now he went broke when the banks busted, and he said he never had anything after that.
29?
Yeah, 31, somewhere along there. And but his wife, now she went on up into the cities.
Well, evidently she was pretty good about picking up money.
His money.
From what he said. He said he finally went, he cleaned out the till, and she was there, and he went and put a $10 bill back in the till, one $10 bill. And he turned around after a while, and walked back over there, and she was the only one in the place. And he looked in the till, and it was gone. So he said, where's that $10 bill? Because he knew there was a $10 bill in there, and he knew she was in there. So then he caught her. I don't remember the outcome of that, but just the idea of it's funny to me. The wife refused to run the store and come down every day and steal from it instead. I don't think he was too fond of her after that.
I had a... mostly when he's over here, he talks about days back in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
He got some beautiful stories about that. I'll tell you one or two of them sometime.
You know, the brother now, Buck, the school teacher.
Yes.
And he talks about his college education.
Yes.
It's right interesting to hear people talk about their college education.
He went to Peabody.
He did.
Mm-hmm. And Nashville.
That's amazing.
And I think he taught school for a while.
Yeah, he did.
But at that time, see, school teachers didn't get very much. They weren't in great demand. So.
That's your change.
Mac was over here one day, and he was walking right down there, and he's talking about this place. I thought he meant the ramp, but he's just talking about the whole place. Still had on his mind, and we were going out the front lane.
But.
Yeah. But. That's just recently. He's hardly walked. And he says, still thinking about the place, he says, I've got a brother that could have had anything he wanted if it hadn't been for dogs. And it was a sadness in his voice.
As much as that old man steals from the kids, I know he'd be sad about that. He must be sad to death, because he steals from the kids all the time. Day in and day out. You know, shortchanges them. Kids come in there. You can do it any time you want to. Just give a kid some money, a bunch of money, to go down and buy something. And you know the amount of change. The kid will come back and change will be wrong. Every time.
My way.
Hell, he's been doing it ever since he's been there. No wonder he's sad.
Who stole his shotguns?
I don't know. I have no idea about that. That was a funny thing.
They
blamed it on the hippies, and Buster saw them. These guys were drunk. See, one of them threw up while they were doing this.
Well, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, it's an amazing story about somebody stealing, you know, doing a thievery thing. One of them so drunk that he threw up, even.
stumbling around it.
They started at the back door and couldn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the side door, couldn't get in, and Buster's looking down on them. Went to the front door, and what'd he do? Knock out the glass?
I don't remember how they got in.
Well,
it wouldn't be hard to do it.
It wouldn't be hard to do. So all they did was take a couple shotguns. As I remember.
Well, that would be like stealing Mac's dogs in a way.
Yeah.
Because he loves those guns.
Oh, yes. But he doesn't keep them down there anymore. I guess he keeps them in his arsenal.
And you know, Mac's talking about how he never smoked, never drank, and he doesn't bet. But what brought that to mind was what his brother said. He could have had anything he wanted if it had been for dogs. He never cursed, or smoked, or drank, or betted. And he lost it all because of dogs.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That's really funny. I mean, he's really a pure person in that respect. The dogs did him in.
He has absolutely no bad habits.
No.
Uh-huh.
He brought that up talking about playing baseball. You know, he was a professional baseball player.
Yes.
And he's talking about how this pitcher on the side wanted to bet him $25 on a game. I mean, back in those days, that was probably like $250. Mm-hmm. That he couldn't get a hit off of this pitcher. The pitcher wanted to bet him before they got up. He says, I would have bet, but I wasn't a betting man. So I said, no, I can't bet you. And he got a home run on him. He's got good talk about hitting that ball.
Mm-hmm.
Good recall of the
mm-hmm.
how he'd stand at the plate,
mm-hmm.
positioning, and then he'd change his mind, move this way a little bit, and reach out. I don't know anything about baseball.
Well, who listens to him?
I don't know.
Just you?
I was the only one there.
Buster doesn't.
No. Well, he can get awful long-winded when he gets a notion to come over there and start talking. When he'll catch anybody on the street.
I just wondered if people, you know, really listen to him.
I don't think so.
Well, the trouble is, over in Micanopy, they're all like him. They can all talk.
Most all of them can. It's a bunch of them there. They know how to talk.
Yeah. So they haven't got time to do all that listening.
Even Buster can talk pretty good if he'll stay off his jokes. Him and those jokes, terrible. He did it twice with me, funniest thing. He says, Wade, come here. And he starts telling a joke. And he got into it, and the first time, after a while, I laughed at something. He says, what you laughing about? And I said, well, something's funny. He said, oh, I didn't know when I was coming to the end of the joke. And he did it again. He got all the way through the joke. He said, gee, I've forgotten. He just loves to do it. And he'll launch into these things without remembering them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But he just likes that act of doing the joke. Much better than the joke.
Oh.
He just likes to do it.
Yeah.
It was twice I got him on that, that he was all into this joke, and he didn't even know where the punchline was in the joke.
Well, now, I've suffered through a large number of those jokes, and I never saw him miss a line.
He sure did two of them with me, and I thought that was funnier than any joke he'd told.
Well, that doesn't reduce his batting average much.
No, not much. He's even gone so far as to buy joke books. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just so he had some jokes to tell people every day, new ones.
Really?
He's funny about that.
Well, they all sound as if he made them up himself.
Oh, he'll garnish them quite a bit.
Oh, does he? He has that gift.
Mm-hmm. He'll lay a lot of them on his family, like my grandfather did.
Yeah. But now, you never hear J.R. He got more sense than Buster. He's saltier than Buster.
I've never heard him talk.
Buster can do it, but J.R. does it. And the only thing that took J.R. out of circulation is that darn job on the campus up there. He was doing fine up until he went up there.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he even put up his Christmas decorations last year, did he?
No.
You remember seeing any of those?
No.
He puts up the damnedest decorations. He didn't do it last year.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Works and works and works and builds these things out of nothing.
Yeah.
You know, one year he had one of the first moon rocket things several years ago.
Yeah.
And he had a huge table he put in the yard with a big rocket on it that's all made with the silver paper, you know, and it would run up and down this cable and do things. You know, he just builds all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And when he got that on the mind, he wouldn't help you clean out your stove. For money doesn't mean much.
Mm-mm. He built what he called a nigger scare. An electric motor that turned about 25,000 RPMs, which is awful fast. You had the shaft, you got all these old saw blades, and you put them up loose on this shaft, and then the tie bolt on the end of it, so they're all loose, and lets that motor go, and you get the blades going in all different directions. I didn't hear it, but I love to hear him talk about how he built it. I can imagine it would be a ferocious noise when it got through.
A nigger scare.
Yeah.
Now, you know Louise Graham.
I don't know her.
You don't know her. Do you know her son, Andrew?
Yes.
Have you talked to him?
Not very much. I know people that have talked to him.
He's the one I would love to talk to. He has done everything.
Mm-hmm.
He made whiskey. He used bulldozers. He goes down to the scrub. He's beat up niggas. He's a little bit, you see, it's past his time now, but he could tell you about it. But he's the sort I can't ever get to, because he wouldn't talk to me.
Fellows like that, somehow or other, you got, I don't know. No, he doesn't drink. So you wouldn't go drinking with him. You have to get in with something he's doing. Stand on the bulldozer with him or something. Or somehow get closer to him. He wouldn't talk a great deal to me either, I don't think.
Just standing there?
Mm-hmm. He came by the other day to apologize for an incident that happened out on his property. It was a strange thing. But that's a funny family, and that family that I mentioned to you before, that money has not altered that family.
Yeah.
No one even knows what they're doing with that money, because it's never shown its head.
Yeah.
Anywhere, and that's a lot of money. They had to get a lot of money. They just had to.
Two lots.
Yeah.
Two sites.
An immense amount of money. Capital cash money.
Yeah.
I think one sold for $80,000, rumor I heard, but I don't see why it wouldn't. At least that kind of money. It'd be worth a lot more than that now. And they're just still right there, just doing it. Andy still works $15 an hour with a broken down bulldozer. Doesn't even buy new equipment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You'd think maybe he'd get new equipment and go work a little bit better.
If I could talk to Louise Graham, I'd quit my job and just talk to her. Nothing else. You see, all her life, she has had free rein. She's never had to wash a dish. She's always been a public figure. And had access to everybody. But you see, I don't have the gift. I don't have the touch. I couldn't talk to her. I mean,
she's a matriarch.
She knows that country. She can talk. Oh, she can talk. She's like the woman at Ms. Myers.
Mm.
You get them together in the store there.
Yeah.
You heard that.
Good Lord, Thelma is really funny when she gets cranked open.
Yeah.
She does. She loves to talk. Thelma does.
No doubt. Oh, like she lives on it.
Yeah, thrives on it.
Yeah. Now, what sort of talk does she do, eh?
She's mostly lighthearted banter.
Yes.
Jovial.
Yes.
I've never noticed her get into too deep into things. She likes to get into political life once in a while. But it's, I hadn't noticed a great deal of background in her.
Yeah.
Obvious, you know, like Buck's background. And that's what he lives on. She doesn't seem to come up with that.
Oh, I see.
At least I've never talked to her had it come up. That's the only thing I can see.
Well, she and Louise Graham really have a time. I've been in there when they, one of them in the back of the store, one in the front.
Carrying on.
Oh, yeah.
I've been in there when they both been in there and customers in the store and everybody just stopped. And they just talked. I mean, everybody in the store just sort of stopped and listened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody waited on anybody else while Louise and...
How you stuff?
Well, we ought to get something settled on this. There they are. Now these are much larger than the negatives. So those are blown up a little bit, but it takes so much work to get them up bigger than that.
It would be nice if he were just a little healthier. You see, he's been a man in his time. You realize that?
Oh yes.
He's frail, always frail. Look at Everett's table, Faye.
Oh my gosh!
Isn't that a fine table?
Yeah. I wish I hadn't been in them.
Well, see, that's another thing. I think just...
It's all right. I mean, but I, you know, it helped you. It helped a little bit.
Well, I don't know whether to try to shoot around you a little bit or what.
No, whatever comes handy.
Now, in the case of, what's the lady's name we went to see? Got a couple of pictures of. Grandmother. This lady here.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah, we can use, and let me talk just a little bit about, see, I needed more film out there and needed just a little bit more time to get these people to relax. And like I got her around the corner, but I was engaging her in conversation and couldn't handle a camera at the same time.
Yeah.
And she was really talking about these flowers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And well, if
well, let me tell you, I don't have control out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fly by night. And they don't trust me anymore. They used to. And so this is worth the trip, right, Taffy?
I think, oh, yes.
That's a nice picture of her.
Yes.
That's worth the trip. That's it.
Right.
I remember this one, she looked sleepy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, see, she wouldn't, she was disgruntled about getting her picture made. She wanted to show she's disgruntled, you know, an act, disgruntled act, anyhow.
Yeah.
She'd probably pleased as punch to have a picture made.
Sure.
Yeah, oh, yes.
But,
uh-huh.
But now this is a mantle.
Oh,
yeah,
you got the mantle.
Yeah.
We can use those.
Isn't that something?
Isn't that something? And there's Everett's head.
That's, yes, old Frankie's.
Frankie's,
head.
I mean, Frankie's.
Yeah. He comes in the house and walks over there and puts that hat on that pig.
The pig.
Uh-huh. Faye says she didn't know whose head that was. It's too high for anybody. But he just puts it up there to Grace Eve. Oh, I saw it afterwards.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, that's first rate.
That's my first rate.
Now, these, see, even with Mac was, I would look at these as just starters. There's one sort of nice little bunch of dogs. I wish we could have gotten more of them. all the tails in there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very, yeah, that's very nice.
And where is that? Well, it's a group of, there, this little one right here. If we have a bunch of them out there, I just like the tail sticking in there.
Yeah.
And we've got to work around Mac. He's all right. He wants me to take pictures of the dogs, and we can use that, and I can get him some dog pictures. But now I can, we can get to a little bit better on him personally. He was a little bit stage struck on this.
Yeah.
Couldn't handle it too well. And one of the reasons when you have to do quite a bit of shooting is concern with the people and your lighting conditions and everything like that, and you don't want to keep them set up. So you want them to move around and catch them in a very natural circumstance. Now in this case, if we want to talk about Mac, I just made this picture just to show you how they blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's not one we would use if you're talking about him, but see, like, the focus here is all important on you and not on him.
Yes.
And sometimes this happens very accidentally because it's only a range about so far. You're talking about in inches when you're shooting under these conditions.
Oh.
And as far as I'm concerned, I was trying to get him and I missed.
Yes.
So you can't be sure every shot.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the best shot you got might be a little out of focus, so you need to get a good number of these to get them lined up right.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the same one
that
you said a little later?
No, that's the same picture. And that wouldn't be at all a finished picture. That was, you see, to really get into this, that's the reason you have to pick out the pictures you want, then you make a print like this and decide you want to use it, and then it'd probably take half an hour or better to make a good finished print on it. And you really have to work on the bloody things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you're talking out of my language now.
Well, I'm just talking about. Well, if we want to do, if you're talking about reproducing these things, they've really got to be worked right. And so, therefore, what we would do is sit down with this kind of stuff, and we'll get a pen. And you say, well, I like this, and you like that, and check them off.
Yeah.
And then I'll make a big print of them and bring them back, and then you say. Immediately, some of them I can just look at in the larger and say, no, we can't use it.
Mm-hmm.
Something may be wrong with it we can't see right here.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, those mantelpiece shots, I've got four exposures. There's two more that don't show here. Now, I'm sure I have one that wouldn't have a camera shape. See, I had to get the camera and hold it up on something because it's a long exposure because of light conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have had a tripod with me, and I didn't. So I had to do it back. And there's apt to be a shake involved in that, which would make the negative no good. But I think we have one there that'll work.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, all this kind of accidental stuff. But, see, I can tell that right off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have to print it. But then some of these, like I'd pick out the best one of these these pictures. And I can... it was too low light conditions in here to get a long depth of field. I should have had a tripod with me, too. In other words, what's happened here in all these pictures, the back wall will be out of focus, but I think it's going to be a good enough picture anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't feel like after I got through taking this roll of film that we had anything really good with Mac and the dogs. You know, I just had that sense about it. Because we weren't casual enough, and he was a little bit too tight.
Yeah, pushing.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Well, you know...
For something like this, you need to be free. And just, I mean, be able to adjust a little bit as you go along and not have to rush it. You see, that's all I can manage.
You need to get in with the people and be there long enough to... So that they don't look at you as a stranger.
Yeah.
I don't mean as an old friend, but not an intruder. And then they have to get sort of accustomed to the camera.
Yeah.
See.
Yeah.
I see this boy.
Hey.
Did these, and you see, he did these over a month. And he not a. He don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But see, Cookie was out here.
Mm-hmm.
You might say I held Cookie down, and he and Cookie didn't care anyhow. I mean, it was they were buddies. Like you say, you see, he had access to.
Mm-hmm. That's some good. He's got some. He'd be a good man to photograph. What is he doing now? I saw right up in the paper, and he was puny or something.
Yeah.
Wasn't he getting puny?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he came back with tuberculosis.
And that's the picture that was in the paper.
Yeah.
The critters used to pass down there. They are handsome. They are workhorses. They are not pleasure horses. Oh, he does think a lot of them. Now, if you send one of these pictures to the magazine, Mr. Weaver's magazine, would you send just get a good print and send it? Didn't have to be big.
No, you send this size print.
Yeah,
that's all you make.
That's all you make.
These you make up for exhibition or display.
Oh yeah,
these kind of things.
This was for his project up at the
school.
He took a class. Did it for his class.
Mm-hmm. He's a right handsome fellow, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. He is.
Well, I think we've got to start. Rework. I can see in some cases some people you might not be able to spend too much time with. They get offended just to come back and hang around the camera too much. I don't want to feel furtive.
Yes. Yes.
About it, because that happened.
Yes, I wouldn't do that anymore. No.
So you just talk to them and.
See, that was just on the wing that mm-hmm. Saturday morning when we.
Yeah, just really to go.
And I didn't have a thing.
We had something to give them, talk to them about, or something like there that. Set up a situation, and then I break out of it and start taking pictures. It's about the only way I know to do it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Really need two cameras. Wish somebody hadn't stolen my one. So I can have two different kind of film, one for inside and one for outside.
See.
That's right. I can see that.
Because it's. I mean, I'm using film now. It's a really fine quality film, and I sort of hate not to use it when you can, but you have to use it outdoors primarily. When you get inside, it's a little bit hard to shoot with it. And there's another film that I use that shooting indoors, you just get fantastic. I can sit here and take a picture of you without a great deal of problem.
What's the camera's cost?
In that kind of light. Oh, I can borrow an Onyx camera to work with. That was about a $300 camera. Somebody just walked off with
it. You can't be honest anymore. I'm going to tell you something I found out. This thing here, this is Sony, it doesn't matter what kind you get. But if I do it all over again, see, I wouldn't have any of these. I just have these little ones.
The size doesn't bother you?
Mm-hmm. Boy. Well, there's nothing to it. You don't want it. I don't look at the picture. Hardly any, you see.
I just now realized it really was a TV set. I kept looking at it. I didn't know what it was, a big clock, because there's those numbers down the bottom. I didn't know what that thing.
It might look something like this.
Well,
yeah.
Good Lord.
Mm-hmm. The earphones. I tell you, man, it's one of the hardest things is to lead a simple life and do things in a simple way. I say, I haven't tried. Now this thing costs $150 and I bought it for $100. I mean, he just gave it to me.
And it's as much as you need.
Oh, yes. And then you can get them. I don't even need that. See, I just got this. I don't know.
It's a clock.
Oh, it is a clock.
Yes. And you can set it. You can set it.
So you can wake up by TV.
Well, it'll turn the program on.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, it'll turn this on.
Aha. Well, that was a bonus, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, the boy's a genius. Who does it? What television man did you know, cameraman or tape recorder man did you know in Ocala that you used to talk about?
Oh, that was Jim Revel. He's over in Tallahassee now.
Yes. Well, I went down there looking for your friend, and I found this fella.
Oh, really?
Yes. And he's a genius.
He knows what he's doing.
Oh.
Isn't that a pleasure to run into somebody like that?
Oh,
he said he could fix something in 5 or 10 minutes and take somebody else a half a day or a day to do it because he knew what to look for and the other fellow would have to work it out.
Yeah.
And that's the way with all his stuff.
Yeah.
That's sort of my mentality he's got. The only one I've ever run across. And furthermore, when he fixes it, he checks it to see if it'll work.
That's something.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? That rung some sort of a note in my head about something I did recently like that, but I can't think what it is. Get it repaired and take it back. No, just take it home to work it, your machine, after having it repaired, and the thing won't work.
Yeah.
And it's right discouraging.
That's right. And you see, if you want any more volume than this, you can put it on some of these old tape cords in an account. And that will give you all the volume. You see, I don't need any more volume. I'm not going to sit off and listen. I'm not going to listen much. The only thing I listen to is the news, maybe one or two documentaries.
I hadn't watched that TV in such a long time. I'm sure I missed a few things, but not a whole lot.
Well, it takes time.
I haven't watched it. I've tried to keep up with the editorial page and the front page on the paper best I can.
Well, you can't do both. I don't believe. It'd just take all your time if you did.
You get absorbed in it too much.
Well, yes, you have to live around it.
That's mm-hmm. right. You know, the good things, when they come, they just have to be around it.
Faye, you haven't got anything to eat.
I've got to go help Beverly.
Okay.
You know, she's working now. She's been working for 2 weeks.
Oh.
And, I'm trying to behave myself a little bit and help her out.
Oh, well, we'd be happy to have you eat a bite with us, but
very,
I understand that.
Very, very poor babysitter today and a housekeeper. Extremely poor. I lost the kid and didn't clean the house up. So
I need to
get back before dark to help clean up a little bit. Yeah, she's about to get adjusted to her working conditions now.
Well,
that may be a sort of a relaxation to get off.
Well,
I think
as soon as she gets adjusted to the change, see, it's a total different world to start this business at the hospital than what she's been in for. Different physical strain.
Yeah.
Oh, she's
a horrible mental strain right now.
How much you want me to make this for?
You're getting paid by the
This
is footage by the university, huh?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Just a partial payment on this thing? Start a fee?
I'll just pay up to date.
I tell you the truth, Guy, I haven't even thought about it. Matter of fact, I'll leave these here for you to look at, because I don't need them until we talk about it next time.
All right.
Hell, I hadn't even thought about that at all, about money.
Yeah.
Beats me.
They won't pay the architectural fees, you know, but they'll pay you enough to...
Well, I'd be right proud just to be sponsored to do it. Because
I'm so tired of that other business, I could scream. I don't want to make another picture of the building.
Well, you
I really don't. Now this, I'm enjoying it. I really am.
Well, let me tell you, we talk mostly about the town meeting, and I was glad to get a little insight into that. I have absolutely no information about it. I told you that about the place over there. This is more than I have got all told. All told. What you just said. And but now I can fill you in on some of these things here sometime when we get out.
Well, definitely. I didn't mean to get so involved. Matter of fact, my storehouse of speech is gone. I'm ready to listen.
Yeah.
I've talked out of town.
Let me tell you, I want to see those speeches you had, the one you used,
okay.
And your. And that paper you circulated, and you don't have the one that the other boy used.
I'll have a copy of it.
You have? Well,
maybe.
Let me see that. Let me see them. This is my old.
Yeah, this one, that communication is really interesting.
Yeah.
I'm learning on it.
Yeah.
See, I tried to use everything else aside, length and all other mistakes, I tried to use a media which these people possibly could understand. I think it confused it even more.
Yes.
I really do.
Yes.
They weren't after information. That might you were there at all.
Yeah.
They were after emotive content.
But
you
can't avoid that because you don't know until it happens.
Yeah. But I still think that... They can't follow things like that too much. You have to go ahead and speak in a more straightforward term and then hope they can get it.
Yeah.
If you try to place it in some other form, it totally confuses them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They probably thought I was selling used cars, sure as hell.
That's right. That's right.
So I really learned a lot because that didn't work one bit. I mean, we got it passed.
Yeah.
But as far as, I mean, my feeling about it, that it was, I mean, for all those listed reasons, it just was failure. Length, timing, the delivery or whatever, every presentation and everything you can name about it.
Yeah.
It's about backwards.
Yeah.
Now, the other one, it was almost as long, not quite as long, but I didn't stop and mess around so much.
Yeah.
See, I knew what these people weren't getting it, and I kept trying to fill, and all that did was make it worse.
Yeah.
And that didn't work too much
time.
But the other one was well received, but it was more just straight down the line. Didn't mess around anything.
That's the one the other boy read.
No, I meant the one first one I
at the first meeting.
Yeah.
You
I
got
have,
that?
Yeah, I have that. And it was just right straight down the line.
Yeah, and it worked. It
worked fine.
Yeah.
But Morgeson said, now, I want you to explain... see if you can't put that in simple terms, what planning and zoning is.
Yeah.
I did. I had in one paragraph last time. Double space, that much.
Yeah.
And dispensed with it, said that was it. I think I'll do the same thing next time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know old Rusty, Red Smith?
Yeah.
Russ.
Yes. Now, he's cantankerous sort, isn't he? He was at that meeting.
Yeah.
He came up afterwards, though, and said that he didn't mean, no offense meant.
He's good natured. And he's a useful citizen. He's worked for me two or three times, and every time he hadn't done me any good. But he's tried.
Now, he,
tractor.
Where does he work? No, it's interstate.
Oh, no. He works for South, back at the old railroad station.
Oh, the welding shop.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. They've done a little work for me, too. It didn't work either. I don't think of it. It wasn't their fault. It
wasn't
didn't work.
Well, the first thing he got up and said, you know, and he stands up there swaying out in the middle, like the wind's blowing him from the back. He said, I think the meeting ought ought to proceed, and all these people back here keep their mouth shut and let the people up here transact the business. Next time he got up, he talked about you. He says, that fella, he ought to get all this other stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Well, he came up and told me that, too. And he said, he wanted me to clean it up.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, you got all these little key words that you've got to know when you use them. It's going to mean this to this group of people and that to that group of people, and they're all there together.
Yeah.
Oh. You got to figure out, like, trailers.
Oh, yeah.
You just say trailers. Now, you got five people living in trailers and want to have trailers everywhere. You say trailers in a mean sense, or we've got to get rid of trailers. You've got them totally upset and mad, and then everybody else will say, we've got to get rid of trailers. So, just I'm not going to talk about it again. And George Wilson got upset with his wife because they're living in a trailer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You just don't know which way to go on that. And that's the thing that needs to be worked out. You see, the biggest point about it, the things are happening.
Yes.
And I don't think the person should just give up because they say it's impossible to talk to them.
Oh, let me tell you. Let me tell you. I can tell you exactly how to proceed. Now, I can't do it. But you can. You don't pay a damn bit of attention to what anybody says visibly. You just go right ahead as if this was a fine meeting and you want to have another one and take a little bit farther. You don't admit to anything. It's just as if you don't have any senses or sensibilities or anything. Now, that's a public attitude. No. You don't notice what anybody says. And if they get up and say something and they insult you, you go around the next time you see them and say, I certainly appreciate you bring that up.
That's right.
Now, that you...
Just like they said, the finest thing in the world, huh?
Yes. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. If you want to work with the public, you want to get things through. You see, you don't adjust anything. You don't, you see,
yeah,
react to anything. You see? Now, my business is to react. That's what keeps me alive, and that's what keeps the thing I've been doing out of here alive. But, you see, I won't last long, not even with the people I work with.
That's the damn truth, though, what you say there.
Got to
develop attitude and stick to it.
And you see what the value of somebody like me is, you can come over here and pop off, and you can see what goes on just by talking to me, and I can listen to you, you see, and I won't interrupt you, and most of the people you talk to, you see, they're just prod you that much more, you see. You can't settle anything. You can't see it easily. Mm-hmm. They won't let you go ahead. Now that's the fella said, that's the only advantage I see of a college education. You can listen and not react.
Yeah, that's a good point. You can't falter around too much.
No. You got to be direct and simple. Now, that fella Eblen has a proper manner. He can talk before and I say a damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's a school man, you see. Mm-hmm. It's an earmark. All of them are like that.
Yeah, he was.
90% of them.
Well, he's a administrator, you know, gone well up in the companies, and I don't even know which one he's in.
Oh, yeah.
He does. He has that facility.
Yes.
And he's a big leader in the church.
Oh, yeah.
He runs that church there, Episcopal Church.
Oh, does he?
He does the preaching. Times the preacher's not there.
Oh, he does.
And he's got that thing working for him.
Yes.
And I talked to him just enough to know that he doesn't understand religion, but the form of it he loves.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't want to say that about him if I hadn't
heard him act a couple of times, say some things.
I didn't admire about that.
But the form, he's got the form.
Yeah.
And he loves that.
He's got that old education, this man. He got it. He got it.
To talk without saying anything.
Yeah. It was great conviction and all.
Yes.
And the time they talk 5 minutes, you figure, well, sir, that's it. And then you wonder, what's it? He had absolutely nothing to say over there. Nothing to report, did he?
That is an extra fine finger. Oh, you look at that.